Welcome to the Bridge Association of Realtors podcast, where we spotlight Bay Area Realtor members and affiliates and share information about how the association can better serve our members. I'm your host, Declan Spring. Today, I'm chatting with Bridge AOR affiliate member and mortgage lender Evelyn Freitas with Guaranteed Rate. In this episode, we chat about Evelyn's background prior to her now 19-year career in lending. Evelyn's been a mortgage lender since 2004, entering the profession after 18 years in small business management and accounting. Evelyn fell in love with the work of helping people achieve their financial and family goals through home ownership, and she realized that the skills she had developed in her previous career found a higher expression in the service of these goals. We discuss what it is buyers should ask when qualifying a loan agent, what types of products and services are offered by various lenders, and what level of care and communication buyers and realtors should expect from a loan agent. We also talk about the recent Cal HFA Dream for All program and its sudden and incredibly quick withdrawal from the market. And I ask Evelyn if other types of down payment assistance or equity sharing programs exist. And now I bring you Evelyn Freitas. I'm here with Evelyn Freitas, who is a lender, a loan agent. What do you prefer?
I think of myself as a mortgage banker.
Okay, you're a mortgage banker. And we mostly think of you guys as lenders.
Yeah.
Or loan agents.
Sure. Okay. We are that.
You know, so many terms. With Guaranteed Rate, right?
Yes, that's right.
Are they just called Rate now?
No, they're called Guaranteed Rate.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm. You're an affiliate member of Bridge Association of Realtors.
I am.
Thank you for being an affiliate member. We really appreciate the great professional advice you bring and the support you bring to Bridge Association of Realtors. So thank you for that.
Absolutely. It's actually great to be a member of the association and to be able to learn so much from all the great realtors and the other affiliate members who are there.
Yeah. I've known you for a long time.
Yep.
You know, you and I are friends for about 10 years.
We go way back.
Which is nice. How long have you been in lending?
I started in late 2004. So it's been about 19 years.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you've ridden roller coasters several times at this point.
Oh, yeah.
And I do want to specifically, I wanted to talk to you about the Dream for All program, even though it's completely fallen apart at this stage. I think when you walked in here today, I said, well, we're going to talk about the Dream for All program. And you said, the Dream for Very Few program.
Yes.
Because that's kind of how it turned out. But going back to 2004, when you got your license, just tell me a little about what it was like then and how you've grown. Were you living in the Bay Area? You're from the Bay Area, right?
Yeah, I'm from the Bay Area. I grew up in Fairfield, not far from here, and came to this part of the Bay Area when I started going to university at Cal. Uh-huh. I worked as a bookkeeper for several years. I was in the seafood wholesale business for quite a while. And I got tired of bookkeeping, and I had the opportunity to get into the lending business. Somebody who I knew who was a lender who came to talk to me about how to set up bookkeeping for his business shifted gears in the middle of that conversation and said that he thought I was good at explaining complex financial terms in an easy to understand way.
Oh, wow.
And that would be great for people who were buying their first home. So had I ever thought about making a change? And I really was thinking about making a change. After 18 years as a bookkeeper, I was pretty tired of that cycle of business. And I was really looking for something to do that was more meaningful in a way. Mm-hmm. So I jumped at that opportunity, and here I am now. In 2004, the market was so different from how it is now. Mm-hmm. There was more property on the market, so there were more opportunities for buyers. And that's when I jumped in and started just meeting people, building a book of business, a database. And it's just kind of taken off from there. But yeah, I've been through a few different markets.
Yeah.
With this one, this real estate cycle, I mean, prices have been going up since what, 2011?
Yeah.
What kind of a cycle is that?
It's not much of a cycle.
I'm just, at this point, I'm just waiting to see where it's all going, because it's, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me if we are still to say this is a cyclical business.
Well, I think for us here, in the particularly in the East Bay, right, which is really the only market I can properly speak about, we just have this terribly difficult challenge with supply. So our demand is just constantly outstripping supply. I mean, just geographically, we're limited, and there's not much available as far as mature, you know, neighborhoods, single family homes with a 5,000 square foot lot, right?
Right, right. There's just not a lot. Everybody's waiting for somebody to decide to sell their property and move somewhere else.
Yeah.
Or perhaps for more property to be built, but in the existing home market.
Right.
There's just not a lot. It seems like we're full.
Yeah, we are. And you know, when we talk about cycles, we could talk about interest rate cycles. Rates got super low for a while, and now rates are higher, and it's problematic as far as, you know, homeowners not wanting to give up their loan, you know, and perhaps, you know, choosing to stay in the current home because they want to stay in their current loan. And that's also, you know, limiting the amount of inventory we have. Like, let's talk about refi for just a second, because it's incidental to that. This time 2 years ago, you were probably doing a huge volume of refi.
I was doing a lot. People were taking advantage of the great interest rates that were available then.
Right. It was probably your primary income source. I don't know, but, you were doing a lot of purchase as well.
I'm focused primarily on purchases because they are less interest rate sensitive.
Yeah.
However, when people are wanting to apply for refinances, I mean, who am I to say no to that?
Right. But there's a lot less refi right now.
I think I did maybe three of them last year.
Yeah.
And I've done only purchases so far this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a measure of things. So just something you mentioned, you were in the seafood industry, right? And,
yeah.
And it seems that you and I may have crossed paths in the 90s, because you were listening to last week's podcast with Felicia, with Felicia Maris Villa, our esteemed president, and she was asking me questions about, you know, how I'd come to the States.
Yeah.
And I had mentioned to her that I worked at Fisherman's Wharf in the early 90s as a busser. Mm-hmm. And you listened to that podcast, you said, we probably met each other. What were you doing?
I worked for a company for about 7 years that was located at Pier 45.
Okay.
And that company started out buying crayfish from the Sacramento River Delta and selling them to some of the white tablecloth restaurants in the city. You know, Creole cuisine was very popular then.
Uh-huh.
And then that company branched out into several different kinds of seafood, all kinds of fish and oysters and so. Mm. And it's a really fascinating business because you've got perishable inventory. There is a lot of urgency to move your inventory when you're in the fresh seafood business.
Yeah.
And in a way, there's a similar urgency in real estate.
Yeah.
It's different because homes don't smell bad after they sit on the market for a while.
Yeah.
But they definitely have a different level of appeal.
Again, incidentally, I just happened to be reading, because I never read it before, I'm reading Anthony Bourdain's Kitchen Confidential. And of course, I think he underscored for the naive public about, you know, which are your best days to eat fish when you go to a restaurant. But that, you know, that's information from the late 80s, early 90s. I don't know if it's still relevant. But yeah, exactly. Yes. What you're speaking to. Yeah.
Sunday's not the best day.
Right.
Yeah.
That's great stuff. So we might have run into each other. I kept late hours at Fiddler's Green.
Uh-huh.
If you were ever in Fiddler's Green.
I don't think so.
It's an under-celebrated Irish pub down in Fisherman's Wharf. Well, I celebrated there every night of the week, but that's back when I drank, so.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay.
You mentioned Vesuvio, though, and I did go there a fair amount. You know, my hours were, I started around 5:30 or 6 in the morning.
Yeah.
And would be done around 2 or 3 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
So then I'd go hit Vesuvio's for a little while and then hop on BART and head back to the East Bay where I lived then.
I thought it might be fun to ask ChatGPT, well, what would prospective home buyers, you know, what should they ask a lender?
That's a great idea.
Yeah, I'm playing around with ChatGPT, as we all should be, because the world is going to change. So here's a question I asked ChatGPT. What are three important questions a prospective home buyer should ask when qualifying a real estate loan agent? And here is what ChatGPT said. As a prospective home buyer, it's important to ask the right questions to ensure that you choose a competent and reliable real estate loan agent. Here are three important questions you should ask when qualifying a real estate loan agent. One, what experience do you have in the industry? We've kind of covered that, right?
Yeah.
You've been doing this for a while. Two, no, this isn't the second question. This is just the second part of the first question. It's important to know how long the loan agent's been in the real estate industry, what type of loans they specialize in. This information can give you an idea of the agent's expertise and knowledge of the industry and can help make an informed decision. And the second question here is, what loan products do you offer? I guess that's a pretty good question. Different loan agents offer different types of loan products. It's important to ask about the loan products the agent offers, such as FHA, VA, conventional loans, and other specialized loan programs. This information can help you choose the right loan product that meets your financial needs. I don't know if that is really a great question or not. You know, ChatGPT is frequently gives you a bum steer confidently, but a bum steer nonetheless. But that sounds like a pretty good question.
I think that is a good question. You want to make sure that you're working with somebody who has options for you. And I think it would be terrible to make a connection with someone and be working through these options and then find out that the best one for you is not offered by that loan agent or by the company that they work for.
Uh-huh. So maybe you can tell me, what's the difference between an institutional lender, which I understand that to be like the bigger banks, Wells, Bank of America, Chase, et cetera, versus a company or brokerage like Rate? What are the differences there?
So institutional lenders like Wells or a particular bank, they're offering their suite of programs, mm-hmm. right? And they might write those programs or underwrite them directly with the investor, investors like Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, FHA, or VA. Mm-hmm. I think when you work with somebody like Guaranteed Rate, you're getting more options available to you because we directly underwrite FHA, VA, conventional loans with both Fannie and Freddie. Mm-hmm. We also work with some more out-of-the-box type investors, credit unions, some of the bigger banks that have programs that might be a little bit out of the box for people whose qualifications don't fit that cookie cutter guideline situation.
Okay.
And then even some private broker companies that are lending their own money. And so they get to decide what the guidelines are for any given borrower. So what I like about that is that it seems like no matter what a client's situation is, if there is a loan product available to them, I probably have access to somebody who offers that. Mm-hmm. And that was actually one of the things that really excited me about coming to work at Guaranteed Rate, was like, I felt like I had the whole candy store available to my clients.
Yeah. So greater variety of products to fit various needs. The third question ChatGPT feels is important. Is how do you communicate with clients? It's ChatGPT says, effective communication is crucial in any real estate transaction. It's important to know how the agent communicates with their clients, whether it's through phone, email, in-person meetings. You should also ask about their response time and availability to ensure they're responsive and available when you need them. That's a pretty good question.
I think so, too. Yeah. I think that's a good question for people to ask. I would say for me, the goal is to communicate with the client the way they prefer to be communicated with.
Right.
Right. If they're a phone person, then I'm not going to be sending them a lot of emails. Maybe they prefer real-time conversations so that they can ask their questions in real time. Mm-hmm. I like to work with people the way it works for them and make that work for me as much as possible. Mm-hmm. I think response time is really important, especially depending on what part of a home search or what part of the transaction the client is involved in.
Mm-hmm.
I do my best to get back to people as quickly as possible, and that can be prioritized on where they are in the process.
Mm-hmm.
If they're in contract, that response time's got to be a lot quicker
right.
than if they are deciding if they're going to fill out an application or not.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. You and I have had transaction-related conversations late at night that were crucial to the buyer's ability to perform.
Right.
And so, yeah.
I would just say that when a client is in contract, there's so much more going on, and emotionally, the stakes are so much higher.
Mm.
Part of my goal as a mortgage banker is to help people feel more comfortable and more informed as they go through the process so that it is less stressful for them and might even be fun to buy your house, right? And so if somebody is calling me in the evening and they're really concerned about something, I want to get back to them. I want to talk through that and help them sleep better at night and know that whatever is happening, that it's being dealt with at the highest level.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds really good. And I've seen you do that in real life, IRL, as they say, right?
Yes. Where ChatGPT does not live.
Well, I like using ChatGPT for this. I should just say, because this is how we use ChatGPT nowadays, as far as I'm concerned. We use it to provide some, give us a prompt and give us a starting point. But we have to check the facts that exist within the answer, because they're not always right. And so it's kind of fun. So thanks for humoring me with that. And then we don't have much time left, but let's just talk a little about the Dream for All, which was a dream. It turns out it was just a dream. Then we all woke up on like day 7 or whatever it was. And that was, there was, the dream was gone when we woke up. It was too fast. But that sort of left me thinking, well, what are the other types of products that are available to people for down payment assistance?
There are several different programs that are available, and they're all set up a little bit differently to meet the needs of different people. There are some programs that are done by lottery. For instance, there's the AC Boost program in Alameda County, where I think that it's lottery winners from 2021 are going through the process right now. That's an equity sharing program. Cal HFA, who administered the Dream for All program, they also have several other programs that can offer layers of down payment assistance, either for down payment or closing costs or both.
Mm-hmm.
There are some private organizations that offer down payment assistance. There is one called the Shinoa Fund that works with FHA loans, and that can provide either forgivable or repayable down payment assistance. And there's another one through Golden State Finance Authority that is sort of similar to the Shinoa Fund.
Mm-hmm.
They all help different people a little bit differently.
Mm-hmm.
They do not all require people to be a first-time home buyer. So if there are people who might be buying their second home but need additional funds,
mm-hmm.
some of the programs that don't require you to be a first-time home buyer might be of use.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's quite a variety of mm-hmm. programs out there. Guaranteed Rate also has a first-time home buyer program that removes some of the adjustments that we typically make to a person's loan profile depending on the credit score or how much they're putting down.
Mm-hmm.
If our first-time home buyer meets certain income requirements, we just remove all of those adjusters.
Mm-hmm.
And so somebody who qualifies for those programs, they get treated the same if they have a 620 FICO score as somebody who's got a 780, right? So that's removing some of the barriers and reducing the interest rate for people, which can help them qualify for more.
Mm.
So like with anything else in real estate, it really, the solutions are tailored to the needs of the individual, right? There's no one size fits all
right.
solution. I mean, the Dream for All program, that was really a wonderful program, or I should say it is really a wonderful program. Mm-hmm. Hopefully there will be more funds set aside for that. And so maybe they could have done a better job of defining all as approximately 2,500 households that there was enough money for.
Right.
That just went by in a blur.
It's kind of bonkers, and it just speaks to the demand out there for practical solutions to, you know.
Absolutely. There's so much demand for people to buy homes. The high demand chasing limited inventory is driving the prices up. And so this program really helped people to compete.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And arguably it helped push values up a little in its short, you know, period of existence.
For the transactions that happened in those 11 days that right. It was available, yeah. I mean, maybe we'll see a little bit of a price bump. It would be interesting to see what the statistics are.
Yeah.
Next month, once those transactions have closed,
yeah.
We'll have more data on them.
Well, I look forward to following up with you about that because I'm curious to see too how it all played out, you know.
Yeah, I'm curious about that as well. And I'm also really interested to see if the state of California appropriates more funds for that program in the new budget.
Right. There isn't much clarity given to us around that right now. That was another part of this that was difficult, was it was so ultra fast, everything just happening so quickly. The program was launched and just trying to clarify details around it and funding and all of that seems to be nearly impossible. Yeah. It was just a lot of speculation.
Yes. However, the people who got ready ahead of time and were poised to jump the minute that program went live, mm-hmm. those are the people who were successful with that program. And so that there's an argument for getting pre-approved early.
So that's where we'll end this, because I think that's, you're right, that's very, very instructive. That the end of the day, if you're looking to buy property in the future, getting your ducks in a row, reaching out to a lender sooner rather than later, and establishing that relationship is absolutely the key to success.
I think that getting pre-approved really helps people through their thought process and helps them assess not just what they can do, but what they really want to do.
Right.
By understanding how much money you need to close in any given scenario, as well as what your monthly payment's going to be, that can really shape people's expectations and also really give them an idea of, well, where are the properties that I'm looking yeah. at? And I sometimes joke with people that getting pre-approved is really the GPS to your realtor's car.
Yes, exactly right. That's exactly right. Nicely put. I really like that. Okay, if anybody's reaching out to you, be they an agent or somebody who's thinking of buying property, how can they reach you? Phone number, email?
They can call me at 510-501-8473, or they can email me at evelyn.freitas@rate.com.
Great. And yeah. are you social media savvy, or that's just private?
I am on social media, on Instagram. I'm at LookSister. It's a very old handle. Don't ask me why. and I'm also on Facebook as well. And LinkedIn, too, for that older generation who's still bumping around on LinkedIn.
I think that's it. Okay. Evelyn Freitas, I am so pleased you took the time to chat with us today.
I really appreciate the invitation, and it's always a pleasure to chat with you, Declan.
And one last burning question. Are you going to the Tipsy Putt fundraiser?
I am. I just got my ticket, okay. and I have no idea what kind of golf outfit to wear. I guess I'll be looking for some baggy knickers and an Argyle vest or something like
right.
that.
Yeah.
But I'm really looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to the putting and not so much to the being tipsy part, but we'll see what happens.
Well, you know, all the East Bay thrift and Goodwill stores are going to be wondering why there's been a run on Argyle vests.
Exactly. I've got to get there before Felicia Morris does.
Yeah. Don't upstage our president.
I would not dream of doing such a thing.
Listen, have a great afternoon. Thank you.
Thank you as well.
Here are some upcoming Bridge AOR events and regular meetings. You heard us talking about it in the podcast, so why not join us for the first Big Bridge Association of Realtors event of the year? This will be a lot of fun. When's the last time you played mini golf with adult beverages and other realtors? The Community Foundation and Affiliate Committee welcomes you to an evening of mini golf and connection. This event will be held at Tipsy Putt, 5690 Bay Street in Emeryville on Thursday, April 27th from 4 to 8 p.m. There's a registration link in the show notes for this podcast. Tickets are $40 pre-sale. They go up to $50 at the door. So it's best to register now and start planning your best golf outfit. All proceeds go to the Community Foundation. And let's talk about RAW, the Realtor and Affiliate Wellness Drop-In Wellness Meetings that occur every fourth Friday of the month from 11 a.m. to 12:15 p.m. This month, that falls on Friday, April 28th. Come and find serenity with us in a safe place where our members help each other in a confidential and anonymous setting to discuss matters that may be affecting their business and personal lives. The group remains anonymous. No registrations required to show up. This is in the training center, 2855 Telegraph Avenue. And of course, that's in Berkeley. Let's do the credits. I'm your host, Declan Spring. Please reach out to me at 415-446-8591 with comments or suggestions, or you can email me at declan@redoakrealty.com. Thanks to Divina Lara, CEO of Bridge Association of Realtors, and the staff of Bridge Association, and our current Bridge AOR president, Felicia Maris Villa, for making the show possible. Thank you to Chuck Lindo for the podcast music, chucklindomusic@gmail.com, and Lisa Mazur for our graphics, lisamazurdesign.com. Catch you in the next podcast, everybody. In the meantime, please like the show and subscribe on whatever platform you're listening to us on. Share with your industry friends, please, and anybody else who might be interested. Have a great week.